This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Anatole Levin, Professor Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute, his new book is Climate Change and the Nation State, writing most recently, and you can see his publications at the Quincy Institute website, For Responsible Statecraft is the full title of the Quincy Institute. One of the essays addresses NATO, and Anatole has a wonderful sense of humor, puzzling why NATO chooses these bellicose and, what you say, almost Roman Empire, SPQR names for its exercises, the most recent being Steadfast Defender. You're waiting for the invasion from Mars. And he has some witty recommendations. My favorite, of course, is the one that involves the fretful porpentine. Anatole, just a moment, given all the crises in the world, what the heck is a fretful porpentine? And at first, of course, everybody thinks I'm mispronouncing it. What is a porpentine?
It's Old English for porcupine. It comes from Shakespeare's Hamlet, about somebody who's very fearful and anxious. And each particular quill shall stand on end. Each particular hair shall stand on end, like quills upon the fretful porpentine. And so I thought that NATO, being a under all its bluster, a very nervous and insecure institution, it resembles a fretful porpentine, in my opinion.
And that would
also
be
because
name an exercise for
it. Makes a lot of fuss about nothing.
Yes, the fretful porpentine has been busy, as you note, in the news. Let's start with Belarus. It is condemned Belarus in uncertain terms because the actions do not then follow for more and severe sanctions. I believe the reason given is that a member of NATO, Turkey, objected or did not go along with the others in voting for or indicating sanctions. At the same time, NATO has denied access to certain areas, I don't know why, to Belarusian observers who have been heretofore welcomed at NATO. And also Dominic Raab making remarks at NATO and Boris Johnson meeting in person, I believe, with Mr. Stoltenberg, the as Secretary General of NATO, to make remarks about Belarus as well. So let's start with Belarus, because they were also talking about another part of the Russian circle. That would be Afghanistan. First, is NATO have options here that are separate from those of, say, London or Paris or Washington? Options about Belarus?
No. I mean, NATO is a puppet organization. It does what its members and, above all, the United States says. I mean, NATO as such will never do anything without American agreement or American leadership. And of course, even with American leadership, rightly or wrongly, NATO, because some of its members, like Turkey in this case, disagree, has not followed America's lead. It did in Afghanistan, to a very limited extent in practice. But, of course, it didn't in Iraq and it didn't in Libya. Those were not NATO operations. They were coalitions of the willing, as it used to be called, between America and one or two NATO members. So NATO is, I mean, as I've also written for Responsible Statecraft, it's, NATO remains a perfectly good defensive organization. You know, it is bound by treaty to defend all its existing members if they are attacked. And, there is good confidence that if that did happen, that NATO would, in fact, fight, which is why, in fact, nobody is threatening to attack NATO. Russia certainly isn't. Where NATO goes wrong is when it starts pretending to itself that, rather than being a defensive organization to to protect its existing members, it can go out and do, great things outside NATO. And of course it can't. Its members are not willing. The Europeans, will never ever risk serious war with anybody. And so it ends up with just, these endless repetitive bluster by, Danes and Dutch, who have no intention of actually doing anything about it. I mean, I'm afraid that, of course, some countries, some NATO members, fought very hard in Afghanistan. I mean, not effectively, alas, but they did fight and die, the British, the French. But frankly, I mean, most of the NATO contribution to Afghanistan was worthless. An American officer there summed it up for me very bitterly. He said, we pretend to listen to them, our European allies, and they pretend to fight.
The Afghanistan matter right in front of us, the withdrawal sometime over these next weeks. But before we go there, I wanted to mention that the entertainment these years of Ukraine joining NATO, Georgia joining NATO, now Belarus joining NATO, those are provocative remarks that don't seem to have any substance to them. Does Moscow make it very clear that that would be a complete crisis if any one of those joined NATO? Has Moscow made that clear to Washington?
Oh, again and again and again. Repeatedly. You know, if you take the case of Ukraine, I mean, until Russia seized or took back Crimea, and that was the key reason why it did so, NATO membership for Ukraine would have implied NATO and the United States expelling the Russian Navy from its main base on the Black Sea at Sevastopol, a famous the site of two famous sieges in Russian history in which hundreds of thousands of Russian soldiers died. You know, as I and a few other people have pointed out, this is as if Hawaii left the United States and then China, a Chinese-led alliance, proposed to eject the American Navy from Pearl Harbor. I mean, how would never mind how the Hawaiians voted, how would America respond to that? I mean, we all know how it responds.
Yes,
Russia is no different.
Yes, the Russian map is not in the American mind, the voters' mind sometimes, Anatole. The final detail, because we just have a few minutes and this will be back and back and back for us, your long experience with Afghanistan, most recently, the remark by NATO is that they're still looking for what it will look like exiting from Kabul, exiting from Bagram Air Base. And I believe the Secretary of Defense has said within these last hours that they're looking for a plan to help those who helped the United States, and I believe Britain has said this as well, to exit with us. This looks very much like a retreat under fire. How does it look to you right now? We have about a minute, and we will speak of Afghanistan all summer.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, but the West is trying to do the honorable thing as far as the people who helped it were concerned. You know, its immediate helpers, the translators and assistants, to avoid moral humiliation. And of course, it's also trying to get out in a reasonably quick and dignified fashion, precisely to avoid the impression of a panicked flight. But it is a retreat, no question.
And in this retreat, is there anything to watch for in these next days? Any signal from Taliban or from Al-Qaeda, anything at all? Or are they going to remain, as they have for some weeks, silent?
Well, if the Taliban have any sense, they will remain completely silent until America has left and then attack. But, of course, there are non-Taliban forces there. ISIS is very present in Afghanistan. They may well attack.
Anatole Levin, a long experience in Afghanistan, but I've taken him to Belarus for this conversation. His book is Climate Change and the Nation State. He's at the Quincy Institute, now in the Gulf, but coming to Washington soon enough in the summer of the Afghanistan withdrawal, the polite word. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.